Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Are you ready? It's Saturday morning at Yahoo Sports Radio. Welcome to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon and powered by Insperity.
Insperity, inspiring small business performance.
The golf doctor, Charlie Epps, is in. The man who coaches PGA stud, Angel Cabrera.
Follow the golf doctor on Twitter, @thegolf_doctor.
Doctor, the golf doctor is in on Yahoo Sports Radio right now. With Charlie Epps, here's your host from the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio. It's our very own scratch golfer, sort of.
Hey, I should have stayed home and played with myself.
John Granato.
Good Saturday morning, everybody. As Man told you, I am John Granato. Now, the name of the show is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Unfortunately, Charlie can't be with us today, but he also mentioned the man, Billy Harmon, and he is with us from his palatial estate in Southern California here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, filling in admirably. Bill, what's up?
Good morning, John. How are we doing today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic.
How's the weather there?
It's a little chilly, but nice.
Yeah.
Very clear. It's mid-60s. A little cold in the mornings, but by and large, no complaints.
Yeah. And that is a wonderful destination, isn't it, Bill? And
yeah.
You're obviously, you're at a private course, but there's plenty of, and that's something that I do want to talk a little bit about this morning, is taking those golf trips. And Palm Springs is obviously a great, great place. Florida is known, and I think Texas is so underrated, but there are so many great places the public can go play down there in Palm Springs area, no?
Yeah, they have over 120 courses in a pretty small area, so finding good golf is not a problem here in the Coachella Valley. It's all over the place.
Yeah, you got where do you other than obviously you play your private courses there, but what's your favorite public out there down there?
Well, there's a nice course in La Quinta called Silver Rock. I think some of the courses at PGA West, like the Stadium Course, is available to the public. There's all kinds of nice public golf in the area. Indian Wells, the area where Toscana is, has two public courses that are beautiful. So there's all kinds of public golf here in the desert.
And that's a great gift, isn't it? This to send somebody on a little golf trip and maybe a 3-4 day deal down to that area or down here to Texas. I know we have people listening all over and they're cold. Although it's been a mild winter, I think, so far up in the Northeast, it's obviously going to get cold. But how about that as a little gift under the tree?
Well, it's always a good gift because, as you know, John, people like to get away and they like to play golf. And the beauty of our area is everything is within 15 minutes. So, and we have no traffic. So you have wonderful weather, wonderful golf courses, great restaurants and things of that nature, and no traffic and everything's within 15 minutes. So there's a lot to be said about coming out here.
Yeah, I can't say that about here, Bill. I can't say that about the traffic thing.
I wasn't going to bring that up, but I had to throw that in there. I was kind of voting for our place over your place.
I can tell you that, boy, is there traffic here, okay? It is just, and especially, well, our offices are in the Galleria area, and you want to talk about a nightmare to get around. It is unbelievable. This time of year, it obviously eases up afterwards, but hey, golf is a great, great gift. I've been doing some spots for Edwin Watts. They're doing golf balls, Titleist golf balls for $38, which is a really good deal for a dozen Titleist Pro V1s and Pro V1Xs. So I've been doing spots for them, and that's a nice little gift to somebody, you know, this holiday season that likes to play golf. That's a wonderful little thing. It's too personalized, though, isn't it, Bill, to many other things in the golf world, isn't it?
Well, I think other gifts that are good are golf instruction. You know, Charlie always likes to talk about give lessons on the radio, which is not real easy to do, by the way.
No.
But I would say that golf instruction, and I think more people are enjoying the game if they could come up with some reasonable positions before they start their swing with a reasonable grip and a reasonable setup and things of that nature, and do things to encourage a good swing, not discourage it. And so I've always thought instruction is also a very good gift.
Absolutely, that is. And, you know, I was out there the other day, as a matter of fact, and I was getting some instruction, Bill, and boy, does it makes a huge difference. And you just say, well, I never do that. It is a wonderful. You got any of the ladies listening out there, and you want to get your guy or your wife is, you know, starting up the game, or she's been playing. It is a wonderful gift to give. And you talk about instruction on the radio. You know, when you, with your brother, we did. I did a lot of golf shows with Dick, and one of the things that I remember that he told me, it's hard, like you said, to give instruction. But I said, yeah, but you know, I'm going out this morning, as a matter of fact, going out to Royal Oaks to go play, Bill, and. You know, one of the things, I just want to get a good swing thought, and I was going to ask you, and one of the things that your brother said, when he said, when you're warming up, the only thing that I tell people, if you're going to get one thing done, get your tempo down. Get your swing tempo down, because that'll really make a huge difference when you step on that first tee.
Yeah, I also think if you can practice finishing in balance, I think a lot of people are falling all over the place, and if you'd allow your balance to be the governor of your effort level, let's say. So, you know, John, how much do you weigh?
I weigh 205.
Okay, so the ball weighs, you know how much the ball weighs?
How many ounces? I don't know.
1.68 ounces. So they give you a club. You weigh 205. You're trying to move something that weighs a little more than an ounce and a half, and you're losing your balance doing it. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, you know. So. And the other thing in golf, as you know, the sweet spot on the club is pretty small, and there's not a whole lot of margin for error in golf. So if we compound that with very poor balance, your good shots will be simply caused by numerical coincidence, which means lucky.
It gets lucky. So, but we see Tiger just, and maybe that's, I don't know if that's the source of his injuries, Bill, and then you see Ernie, how beautifully, and it looks like it's effortless how Ernie swings, and then you see Tiger, who just attacks the golf ball. You know, we don't have their swing speed, so how do we get swing speed if we're not going to go at it?
Well, once again, that starts, I think, with a good grip and a good stance and reasonable alignment. You know, if you aim way left, it's harder to turn your body. If you aim more to the right, it's easier to turn. If you have what we call a strong grip for a right-handed player where the hands are on the club more to the right, that creates a stronger shot. So there's a lot of ways to get it without trying to swing out of your shoes. But in most cases, you know, one of the first things that you have to get to the distance is solid contact.
Mm-hmm.
And so once again, if you're losing your balance and you're falling all over the place, you know, it'd be pretty easy if you were a defensive lineman and you weighed, or offensive lineman, and you weighed 205 pounds and you were blocking somebody that weighed 1.68 ounces, you know. I don't think he's going to knock you off balance, but you allow the golf ball to knock you off balance, or the golfers do when they swing. So that's why you need to get just reasonable technique, I would say. And there's no such thing as a perfect grip or a perfect stance, but there are certain common denominators that would help the recreational golfer.
Wouldn't you rather hit it 230 yards down the middle than 250 or 60 and be in the trees every time?
Well, at my age, I want the 250 or 260.
No, I get that.
But for the average golfer, yes, I'd say if you keep it in play, good drivers increase their chance of making a par dramatically. So if you're playing a par four and you hit a nice drive and you're in the fairway, you really only have to go one for three, one good shot out of the next three to make a four.
Mm-hmm.
If you drive it out of play, you might have to go two for three to make a par. So I think good driving has always been underestimated in golf. If you had a bad drive, it costs you more than one stroke. Miss a three-footer, it only costs you one stroke. But, you know, a bad drive can sometimes cost you two, three, four shots a hole.
But, yeah, and I think that's a misnomer. And because we see even on the tour, Bill, you know, drive for show, putt for dough. But you, where do you, where does everybody get in trouble on the tour is if they miss the fairway, no?
Well, you know, and with all the distance that they, these guys hit the ball now, and even though the ball doesn't curve as much, if they get it started offline, you know, and they've got it in the air 300 yards, it's going to go offline. So I think driving the ball relatively straight, I'm not saying you have to be a great driver, but I think there's a there's an advantage to being a good driver.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, we're just getting it started here on the Chi-Lips Golf Hour. It's brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance. If you'd like to call in, you're more than welcome. It is a holiday show. We're going to take next week off because it's Christmas. Hopefully be back on the 2nd of January. I think we will be back on the 2nd of January. So this is the last show of the new of this year of 2015. Maybe we can make some predictions for 2016 here. And if you'd like to get yours in, you're more than welcome. 1-800-777-2907. John and Billy right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com. Powered by Insperity. Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
All right, back here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance, and InternationalProAm.com. You hear Charlie talking about it all year long. Get down to Puerto Vallarta. Bring three of your buddies, and if you don't have a golf pro, they'll hook you up with one, and you have a great week of golf. InternationalProAm.com. Great competition. I think they had a ridiculous number of competitors this year, which is awesome. If you like to compete, if you want to try and compete down there, What wonderful courses they are. InternationalProAm.com. Billy Harmon with me here, talking a little golf here. I don't know why it made such a big deal, but Jordan Spieth with his Happy Gilmore. You saw that, Bill?
Yeah, I did. Yep. Uh-huh.
I don't know why people were so why it was so, you know, popular and in so many places. It, you know, Jordan Spieth walking up and hitting a golf ball anyway, it wouldn't surprise me.
I think we're bored.
Yeah, you might be.
You know, this time of year, there's not a lot going on. And so, as you know, John, it's hard to maintain a 24-hour cycle of entertainment. And this time of year, what are the golf channels going to do? And right. That's a hard deal to keep people interested. So when something like that happens, I guess that can be news. I never, you know, I saw it, but I didn't look at it because I don't know what difference does it make, you know, really. I don't
know.
You know, somebody did it in a tour event recently, maybe over in Malaysia or something on the first hole, and everybody made a big deal about it. But I think when those things are getting a little bit of publicity, that just means that nothing's happening in the golf world.
That's probably right. One of the other things that happened this week was Rome got the bid to 2022, their first Ryder Cup bid. That's pretty cool. It's just about 17 miles northeast of Rome. So that's pretty cool.
That is cool. I love Rome.
Yeah.
I try to figure out how to get there. And Julie Inkster just got named the captain again for the Solheim Cup team yesterday.
That's great. Good for her.
That's two in a row for her. So that is great.
Well, that was a wonderful, wonderful win for them. So that's,
'cause we're going to play a match here January 14th at Toscana with Jay Haas, Bill Haas, Julie Inkster and myself. So we've got the Solheim Cup captain, the President's Cup captain, and the hero of the President's Cup matches, and then me. I don't know how the heck I fit into all this stuff, but I'll try to get out of their way.
Is your game ready for that?
That's always debatable, John.
One never knows. That's one.
I just want to squeeze them in the fairway and on the green somewhere, you know?
That's it. Well, this is a Jim Fazio. It's Marco, the course in Rome, Marco Simone, and it's a Jim Fazio design course. I don't know that I'd ever heard of a Jim Fazio.
I don't know anything about the course.
Yeah. Okay.
But match play, it doesn't make much difference, really.
Right. Billy Harmon here, and I mentioned this is our last show of the year, Bill. And a couple of questions for you, maybe put you on the spot a little bit.
Sure, that's all right.
I probably should have sent you breakout player this year, somebody that played, you know, pretty well last year and is going to really break out this year?
There's a few, I think, on the horizon. I think there's Tony Finau.
Mm-hmm.
Has got a lot. I think this Daniel Berger, I think, is the one guy. I think he's really feisty, you know, and I think sometimes when we look at players, we don't look enough at their competitive fire. And Daniel kind of broke out on the scene at the Honda last year, PGA National, and he hit a fairway wood on the last hole with that pin tucked in the right, and he put it in there pretty close. And what I mean by that was his very, very first pressure-packed situation. It would have been easy for him to bail out to the left, you know, maybe get a putt at a four and protect money, and he didn't do that. And I think when I look at young players, I look at little things, what separates them, you know, John, and I think he has a competitive fire. I think Finau has incredible distance with a very, very simple swing, I might add. I look at those two guys, and a guy that broke out last year, I think, to watch and continue is Kevin Kisner.
Mm-hmm.
I think he really looks good to me. And my other prediction will be, I believe Rory will take over the number one spot, and I think he will have a humongous year. And I think it would be very difficult for Jordan to replicate anything close to his performance in major championships, only because it was probably one of the top three performances in majors in the history of the game. So, John, you follow all sports. And, you know, Barry Bonds, after hitting 73 homers, didn't hit 74 the next year.
Mm-mm. Right, right.
So I think every now and then we see these players have breakout or unbelievable years, and we assume it's automatic. It's not automatic. That's what would have happened more often. So I think Jordan will obviously be good, but I'm predicting Rory's going to take over again.
Yeah, I could certainly see that. Those three, Jason Day, Jordan Spieth, and good thing Jason Day protected himself the other night when LeBron was coming. He's probably
going to... Yeah, that was an interesting argument.
Yeah, it was. It was
another board news cycle, right. I think.
That's right. Well, he's going to catch, I think, probably out there on the tour, catch a lot of grief. But, he, you know, good thing his wife is okay. Gosh, that's scary, a month after giving birth or what?
Well, I always think that stuff is going to happen more than it does, actually.
Yeah.
I'm always surprised it doesn't happen more.
I'm thrilled. Major League Baseball is talking about making the netting all the way around down to first base line, because it's so dangerous along those first base.
Well, when you think about it, they have it behind home plate. Yeah. It doesn't really affect the views and stuff like that. I've sat behind home plate in many a stadium, and it's a non-issue, you know. And I don't see why they don't have it down the first and second mm-hmm. base line, maybe, you know, between third base and the outfield wall anyway. But
right.
Someone's going to get killed.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. That,
no
that,
doubt about it. It's
scary. If you're not watching along that first base line, I don't like sitting there, because you got to be on your toes the whole time. You bring a little kid down there, and you be protected them.
Protecting them, yeah.
There's that. So, Jason, I think that's going to be a great three-way fight. I really do. Jordan and Roy. But
yeah,
somebody,
and I don't really see – I don't put Ricky in that class right now. I really don't.
No. I mean, he's really got to step up and be consistent all year long, and that just hasn't happened yet. Maybe this is the year. We'll see. Maybe that's the guy. Maybe Justin gets his stuff all together because he's got so much, and he's going to be competing up there. Somebody will step up like Jordan did this year, like Jason did this year. Somebody's going to step up. We'll find out who that is, though. We've also got – I got a couple other questions for you for this year. We got Billy Horman right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com. Powered by Insperity. Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
Been a good friend of mine. All right, second half action on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. If you'd like to get in, any questions about the upcoming year, you're more than welcome. 1-800-777-2907. 1-800-777-2907. We'll get you right in here on the show. Billy Harmon and John Granato with you here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. And we talked a little bit about, okay, who's going to be a breakout player. And Finau and Berger came up. And you think Rory comes back. And Rory, by the way, happy. He is engaged now, right? And he so maybe his that his personal life is, he says she's good for him. And we'll see if, you know, he becomes more focused this year and is able and stays healthy and is able to, you know, take over that, retake that number one spot. That'll be fun to watch this year. How about, you know, a couple of years ago, Ernie wins the British, Bill. And we've seen, you know, Tom Watson competing at the British at the in the 60s. Who, an older player that just might step up in a major this year, maybe not win, but will be competing in a major this year. Is there anybody that was out there on the tour, one of the older guys, and what a great nostalgia story that always is when one of the older guys is able to step up and play well in a major?
Well, I don't think you can ever count Phil out, you know, and I guess he's now one of the older guys. Let's see, 45 or 6 years old. I've gone on record as saying I think Phil will be the first guy to win a major in his 50s. But I think you can never, ever count out Jim Furyk. Mm-hmm. I think Jim is such a grinder, you know, and Davis Love. You know, Davis Love winning last year at age 51, gets him back in Augusta. Wonderful player, still has great length. Those would be the three I would think, but if I had to say which one, I think Phil, because he is a more prolific winner than the other two. And he still has great length, Phil. And he's still, putting, I think, is always a key when you get older. Just for some reason, people just don't putt as well. I don't know whether the nerves eventually give out after being under the gun for 30 or 40 years. But, you know, most players, as they get older, they just don't putt, and their short games just don't seem to be quite as sharp as it was. And I got to believe that's got something to do with nerves.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that. It's not a knock or a criticism. I think it's a very valid observation that a great portion of older people, their short games seem to lead them first.
And speaking of that, like one of the guys, I mean, you see him chipping around to Lee Westwood, one of the older guys that was never able to get there, and it looks like it's passed him by now, and that's especially the case with him. Around the green, isn't it?
Yeah, he never has had a knack for it. You know, some people are just born with it. It's a touch thing, and they just seem to have it. Other people have to work real hard to get it, and they can. And Lee just never did. Lee was somebody who always kind of dove down into the ball. You know, he had a lot of downward motion, it seemed like. And in the short game, I think that can be very, very damaging, to say the least. But, you know, even on an elementary bunker shot for a tour player, he would be liable to hit the most indifferent shots. And so, you know, there's an old expression, you can't be first in line in everything. And he was put first in line as a ball striker, but not first in line with the short game. The problem is there's guys out there that do it all pretty good. And so it becomes very hard to compete and win major championships. If you have that little chink in your armor, you look at almost anybody that wins a major tournament, you can kind of go back to a grade up and in somewhere in the last round or saving shots here and there. And I don't think that's ever been Lee's strong suit, but a marvelous player, really a very, very good player. And he's had a heck of a career, but we'll judge him because he hasn't won a major is not having a good career, but I don't do that. I think he's been a heck of a player.
Yeah.
There's guys who have won majors that haven't had the careers that, you know, that he's had.
Well, Padraig had a bit of a rebirth last year, didn't he?
Pardon me, who?
Padraig Harrington.
Yes, he did. Yes, he certainly did. He won a tournament, and he's such a tinkerer, though. It's hard to get a trend line with him because he's always trying different stuff, and I think that's just the way his line works. And got a little bit of Tiger there, always trying to get better, and will, you know, tear down and redo things. And I guess that leads us to another subject. You know, what's going to happen with Mr. Woods?
That is a good question.
John, you've been in the business a long time, and if you look at listen to his interview or read his interview in the Time or Newsweek, wherever it was, and listen to his interviews, there's a little bit of resignation there, I would say. It doesn't mean that if he's healthy, he won't come back, you know, guns a-blazing. But I sense that he realizes that his body will never be the same, you know, and that if he does come back, it will have to be, you know, putting things together in a different way, putting the puzzle together in a different way. And hopefully for him, he'll get off this explosiveness thing and this distance thing and figure out how to beat these guys another way, because he certainly has, he's done it before, you know, hitting irons off tees at one British Open. I think he hit one driver in a British Open and won. And so I've always been a little intrigued by why he's so addicted to this distance, as he's had his seventh surgery.
Do you think he wins a tournament this year?
I don't know if he'll win this year. I've always thought he'd win again. We don't even know if he's going to play this year.
Yeah.
You know, that's the problem. If I knew he was going to play and he was reasonably healthy, I never discount the Tiger Woods factor. And the Tiger Woods factor is a predator. You know, he's someone who still knows how to compete, still knows how to tune you out, still knows how to freeze you, I think, out there. So he just hadn't had the game to back it up for a while. But if he gets a little mojo going, but, you know, he seems to be blending in a lot with the younger players, and I think he's maybe starting to enjoy his role as a mentor, which he should, by the way,
mm-hmm.
which he should. He can give back tremendously to the game. And the fact that he wanted to be a Ryder Cup assistant also makes me wonder, does that speed up the process and put him, let's say, move him up into the first or second in line to be a captain of a Ryder Cup team? I don't think people thought of him as being a captain. I think the guys in the mix were probably Furyk and Stricker for the next one. But does that move Tiger up in the rotation to be a captain if his game is not good and he actually wanted to be a part of the Ryder Cup team?
Well, and was he, I don't want to say popular enough, because obviously, you know, but did the guys like him enough to?
Yes, I think that's the one thing that's a misconception, that the players don't like Tiger. Tiger's in his element on the range. That's where he's most comfortable in golf. It doesn't mean when he's competing that he's not a hard-nosed competitor. I think other than the people he deemed to be a threat, maybe Phil, he's always very nice to play with. You know, I caddied for Jay on many occasions, and he was fine to play with. No way, shape, or form out of line in any way.
Mm-hmm.
And I've, you know, caddied in President's Cups and Ryder Cups and things like that. He's not by nature a rah-rah guy, but he's also, I never felt like he was flying solo or, you know, wasn't compatible with the rest of the team. I wouldn't say that at all. I think people have a misconception about that. I really do.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see what that locker room, what he's like in Atlanta afterwards, what guys say about him. And because there has always been, it's been a little bit polarizing, guys with Tiger Woods. Of course, they always wanted to beat him, but there were plenty of guys out there that didn't like the way he went about it. And then after the scandal,
I would say that, but they might not like the way he went about things, but he didn't treat them individually poorly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you might look at something. We all have athletes. I wish he wouldn't have done that. You've probably gotten to know a lot of them. Mm-hmm. I wish he wouldn't have done that, but you know him. He's an okay guy.
Yeah.
You know? He just does stupid things or things you don't agree with, but it doesn't mean that he's not capable of blending in and being a good guy, you know?
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
He is polarizing, but I think it'd be very interesting to see how he handles the vice captaincy and if he does the little things that I saw Furyk and Stricker and Davis Love do at the President's Cup.
Forget a major. If he competes at any tournament and is up there at the top of the leaderboard, I think it immediately makes it huge. And,
really huge.
Yeah.
Really huge.
Yeah. He's sport league.
And I think he can get it back if he does not get addicted to the distance and if, in fact, he does not still have the yips pitching and chipping. Mm-hmm. But I think they kind of came back towards the end of the year. The only reason I say that is he started sculling it over the green there at the Greenbrier when he had a chance to win. But then he started putting it from everywhere, mm-hmm. you know. And that's usually a sign that anytime you put the ball on the ground first, all the time, that's usually a pretty good sign that you're not comfortable with the other shots.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And he's got, you can't, obviously you can't do what he was doing. And hopefully he gets out of that. But that's always in the back of your mind, isn't it?
Yes.
When you've been.
Yes, it is.
If you're,
it absolutely is.
If you're shanking or you're blading your chips, you know, there's always that thought that, wow, that could come back again. That stinks. And you can't play like that. Obviously not at that level. Obviously not at that level. Still more to talk about for this 2016 season. This is the last segment of the Charlie Epps Golf Hour for 2015. John and Billy with you here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com. Powered by Insperity. Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
48 past, as I mentioned, our last segment of 2015. On the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, been a great year. We appreciate all of you for listening. I hear a lot of people here in the Houston area anyway say, well, yeah, we listen to it every week. Excuse me. So we appreciate it. We'll be back in 2016. It's a fun run. Love Charlie and Billy, and we really appreciate you, Bill, coming in every week, getting up as early as you do. I know you get up early anyway.
And you're doing it?
Pardon me?
And you're doing it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I really enjoy it. So it's great talking golf. We got to get more of it. We got to get more of it out there. Love the game, and I know a lot of you do too. It's a beautiful day here in Houston. Try and get out there if you can and play some today. We've been talking about guys, and Bill, maybe you can explain it. I don't know, because you know when Louis Oosthuizen won and looked like, man, we're gonna anoint this. Look at this beautiful swing. How can he not? And then he kind of disappears. And Keegan Bradley, and look at him winning this PGA and dominating and overpowering the ball. And I remember even Webb Simpson when he won his major, and Jeff Ogilvy, and you know, and then then they kind of disappear. I know it's so hard. You were in the middle of you carrying the bag for Jay and coaching Bill. It's so hard to win. But when we see these guys and they play so well, and we think they're going to be able to continue it, what happens?
You know, John, I think that most people don't understand that not all the players want to be number one. They're not willing to do what it takes. And that's not a knock on them, by the way. You know, some of them, I was out to dinner. Jay Haas was here the last 3 days, and he left yesterday. But we were out to dinner, and a friend of mine was with us, and he was asking Jay questions about things. And the bottom line is Jay's had a marvelous career. And he started asking him about his amateur days. He was low amateur in 2 U.S. Opens. He played in the Walker Cup. He won the NCAA. He had 2 NCAA team titles, won by 33 strokes. Walker Cup team at St. Andrews. Played in the Masters at the as an amateur and was paired with Arnold Palmer. He's won 26 or 7 tour events and champion tour events, couple money titles on the Champions Tour. Wonderful career, but never, let's say, a great player, okay? But had a wife and 5 children that he had to raise and be a husband. And so how could you be the best player in the world, let's say, unless that's what you wanted to be and had that kind of ability, and still had the time to do what he did with his wife and children? Now, Nicklaus did it, but Nicklaus had more ability than Jay.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying here?
Mm-hmm.
So what is a success? I think a success is being the best you can be. And Jeff Ogilvy doesn't have the ability of Rory McIlroy or Jason Day. So some of these guys aren't as good as these other players. And then maybe, you know, they grew up poor and all of a sudden they make a lot of money, you know.
Right.
And they provide for their family and they have a very nice life doing it the way they do it. And they don't maybe want all the tension and all the stuff that goes, you know, today, in this day and age, if you're going to be real good at a sport, your sense of privacy has been almost violated, don't you think,
yeah,
of all the social media? If you go out and you're doing, you know, let's say you and I were going out and, you know, somebody's taking pictures of us with their cell phone and, you know, you can misconstrue things any way you want. So I think at the end of the day, there's only a handful of people that say they want to be number one and really mean it and are willing to go to any lengths to get there. So, and plus the competition is such that these tournaments are hard to win. And that's why I kind of said, you know, Jordan's going to have a lot of pressure on him this year. I think he'll win a bunch of tournaments. Wouldn't surprise me one bit if he didn't win a major, to be honest with you. But he's not going to duplicate what he did last year in the majors. It's just too hard. Look what Ricky Fowler did in the majors this year. Oh, he had four top fives, you know, he's ready to break through. Well, I think he missed two cuts in the majors this year. You know, so we see these hot streaks, and we think that's going to be the norm. That's not going to be the norm. It's just too hard. The game is too hard.
Competition's too great. Changes.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah.
Different courses, different conditions. The answer, I think, is not that many people really want to be number one.
All right. Well, and I think it harkens back. Did Bruce Litsky not have a wonderful career doing doing everything he wanted to do? And
everybody wanted to be like Bruce. Everybody wanted to be like Jay, to be honest with you, to make a lot of money, win some tournaments, and have a life where nobody knows who you are. You know,
mm-hmm,
you have a wonderful wife and family, and you have a heck of a life. Jay Haas has had a phenomenal life in golf, and now capped off by, you know, the President's Cup captain.
Right.
But he's a superstar in no way, shape, or form. But I think if you add up the family and everything that he's done since he was an amateur, it was a damn good career, boy.
Absolutely.
Really good career.
Absolutely. Who's taking, you know, Bruce Litsky is out to the mall or movies. If Rory or Jordan or Tiger or, you know, they're all, everybody snapping pictures, everybody, you know, Jay Haas can actually go Christmas shopping.
Nobody would bother him.
Yeah.
Ever.
But is the, you know, are you going to be the number one guy in the world, though? Is it worth it, though? That's the question.
And there's just a few that really want it. You know, I always felt that Freddie Couples didn't want it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want all these.
He couldn't hide from his fame either, though.
He couldn't, but I think that's what actually kind of scared him, I think. This is just my opinion. I don't know this, you know. But I think he'd get away. Man, I don't want all this,
yeah,
you know.
I want to lay on the couch and watch.
They make so much money, I'd say, that they can afford to do whatever they want. They have financial security. And if you don't desire all the attention and the accolades, then you subconsciously might not do some of the stuff that has to be done, you know, to, you know, let's face it, John, you're in the business, so we marvel at how Jordan Spieth has handled this, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
You've covered a lot of athletes. Have you ever covered a young athlete that has handled fame and fortune like this young man?
No, he's unbelievable.
He is unbelievable.
You know, Kevin Durant was like that for a while, but then he turned angry these last couple of years. I would say that he was probably the closest, but he's gotten, and maybe Jordan, maybe it'll affect Jordan in the same way where you're just like, it's enough, guys. I just can't take it anymore. But so far he's handled it perfectly.
Yeah, he's been fantastic. Someone asked me about him at the President's Cup. I said he was exactly what I thought he would be. You know, he's exactly how he portrayed himself, you know. Sometimes you'll see these guys in a different light, and you go, "Oh man, that's an act he's putting on for the cameras." You know, not with him. He is who we thought he was.
Mm-hmm. They are who we thought they were.
Dennis Green, one of the great rants of all time.
All time. Well, we are about done here, Bill. Appreciate it. Okay, you're going out there on the course today. Bill wants you to stay balanced and. And yeah. Dick told me, your brother told me, get your tempo right, swing easy.
Go.
And you know what? And you, like you said, Bill, you know, you don't have to go and kill it. How about, you know, maybe you how about shorten up that swing a little bit and keep it in play?
Nice solid contact, finish and balance, and if that doesn't work, take two Tylenols and call me in the morning.
That's it.
See you next year, John.
Great stuff. We appreciate you as always,
all right,
Bill.
Man.
All right, there's Billy Horman right here. On the Charlie Epps Golf Hour brought to you by Insperity. We want to thank Insperity for being the title sponsor again in 2015. That is just awesome. Also, Southern Texas PGA, thank you so much for all that you do. And InternationalProAm.com, great stuff. We appreciate all of you guys, and we appreciate all of you that listen every week. or as often as you can anyway, right here on the Yahoo Sports Radio Network. Taking next week off. We'll be back January 2nd right here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Have a great holiday season, everybody.